Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the final hour of Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Tiki Barber, BT, having back surgery, but he's out today and tomorrow. He will be back on Wednesday, we hope. We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studio, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Got into a lot today, talking about Brooks Koepka winning the U.S. Open for the second year in a row. His steely demeanor, his mental toughness is why he got it done. Told the story about his dad telling him, you're going to stay in school, son. You're going to go to high school, you're going to go to college, and if you're good enough, then you're going to figure it out. He figured it out, playing on the European Challenge Tour, then the European Tour, and eventually making his way onto the PGA Tour in 2015, where he won the Waste Management Open out in Phoenix, and then two U.S. Opens back-to-back. Those are his only three wins on tour, as crazy as it sounds. Usually when you see multiple major winners, you're going to see lots of different wins on the PGA Tour. He has three, and two of them are majors. So hats off to Brooks Koepka, who we like because of his physique, his body ability to bomb the ball. More importantly, he one-putts when it's important. We also talked to Kelly Brook, who's the president of Bethpage Black. They host the PGA Championship next year, and it's different because the PGA runs all the other majors, but the USGA runs the U.S. Open, and the U.S. Open has gotten a lot of criticism about how they set up Shinnecock Hills this weekend, and the weather they didn't account for, the wind which dried out the greens, frustrated so many of the greats. I mean, hell, Tiger didn't even make the cut. Phil Mickelson showed his frustration by hitting a ball that was moving. Maybe as an example, and maybe as the guy falling on, making the loud example that it was going to be talked about. Shinnecock Hills promised that they would not have the course set up this way. USG promised it wouldn't be set up this way, but it was set up this way, and it was ugly on Saturday, as we all saw. But Kelly was great talking about some of the challenges that everybody faced and how a lot of people didn't like what they saw. I actually kind of enjoyed it because I like seeing guys struggle, seeing how they pull through, which is why I'm a big fan of Brooks Koepka. And obviously the World Cup this weekend is what we're going to get to now. So many great things happened over the weekend. Argentina is the first one that we referenced because Messi had a shot at a free kick. He missed it. Actually, the goalie made a great defense of it, and he just stood there. It was interesting watching one of the great players of our generation just have no concept of what to do next. It was weird because he was just standing there. Everybody shaking his hand. Obviously, it was a draw, so he still get a point. But everybody shaking his hand and giving him congratulations, just standing there, dumbfounded. How could I possibly miss that shot against Iceland? But I saw an interesting stat over the weekend. And really, I think it was this morning that I read it, or maybe it was Sunday evening that I read it, about how a lot of these favorites, like Argentina, like Germany, are getting caught taking bad shots, like Brazil, which tied Switzerland. They're taking bad shots outside of the box because they just think that they can make it. And they know that they're playing an inferior team. You put that in quotes, obviously, because you never really know how inferior or superior your team is until they get on the pitch and play each other. But a lot of the favorites, Germany and Brazil, as I mentioned, Argentina as well, are taking like tens of shots outside of the penalty area. Whereas the other teams are being smart, the Icelands of the world, the Mexicos of the world, the Switzerlands of the world, they're taking shots that are smart shots. So if you play smart and don't do stupid things, then you can beat some of the powers, just like Mexico did when they beat Germany. Now, Why this is a big upset is obvious. Germany is a defending World Cup champion. Now, so many things can change over a four-year period, and guys get older or your roster turnover. But Mexico, when they beat Germany on Sunday, literally there was seismic action. I think that's maybe an exaggeration, but there was seismic action. Listen to this call.
Guardado que devuelve para Javier. Pachicha, si cruza, está Chucky, viene el primero, viene. Engancha para pegarle, viene.
Wow, now you didn't hear it, right? You didn't know what happened the first time, just in case you couldn't understand it. He was saying goal, but in order to emphasize it, he had to say it again. Let's hear those again. 23 seconds and then 13 seconds, or what was it, 10 seconds a second time? 13 seconds a second time. 23 seconds and 13 seconds, just to say. Now, 2016, we saw something kind of similar. Iceland was trying to qualify. They were in a qualifier trying to qualify for the World Cup against Austria, and they won, and it was amazing. They qualified, and I kind of spoofed it because I don't know what language it is, Icelandic, and it's so unfamiliar, but it got translated. So we're going to listen to what Iceland said and then what I had to comment on. Now, he's actually saying words. He's not just screaming. It sounds like he's scared. But so I translated it, and this is what I think he said. I thought it was longer than that. I thought it was the whole thing. I forget. There is nothing better than soccer for the celebrations. Mexico beating Germany, I get it. It's a huge upset. But really, I don't get it because maybe Mexico had a great squad this year. I know they have one or two good, really good players. But I can't relate to why this is an enormous upset. It's not like the New York Giants, in my mind, New York Giants beating the New England Patriots. I can't relate to it. But what I do get a kick out of is the reactions. Right? These are such emotional moments. And it makes you realize how enormous the World Cup is. And so we all know the story about the United States not being in the World Cup. It was one of the colossal disappointments of this past year. And so in the absence of having a team to root for, what do? You can just sit around and enjoy it. I actually enjoy watching the games because of the emotion, as I was just saying. You hear these teams screaming and commentators going crazy. And Iceland, was it Iceland? 99.6%.
What are those other like seven guys doing?
I mean, seriously, 99.6% of Iceland watched on Saturday as they came to a 1-1 tie with Argentina. 99%. Can you imagine like how much an ad would cost if you could get 99% of the country? You know, not like a little demographic, not like 99% of the 18 to 40, 30-year-olds. We're talking 99% of the entire country. I guess that's like the babies are holding with the parents. I mean, how do you know if a baby's actually watching? He's probably sleeping, sucking on his binky. He doesn't care whether Iceland wins or loses. He's being unaware. But I guess he's in the presence of someone who is watching. The 99.6% are watching Argentina. And Iceland come to a tie as Messi has a chance to win it at the end and doesn't convert on the free kick. But Mexico beats Germany. And this is a huge deal, obviously, because Germany is a defending World Cup champion. Now, who do we root for? I don't root for anybody. I like watching the stars. It was kind of cool seeing Ronaldo get a hat trick. That was on Friday. It was, kind of neat to see Lukaku, who is a new Puma guy with all these other new Puma guys now, score two goals for Belgium today. But Landon Donovan has an idea who you should root for and caught some flack. Let's listen.
Hey, it's me, Landon. The big tournament is just about to kick off, but not everyone's team is going, and that's okay. Inviting anyone in need of a team to root for to join us in cheering for the Mexican national team. Vamos, Mexico.
What? What? You're American, Landon Donovan. you're not. I know he plays in Mexico, so there's some sort of connection to Mexico. Obviously, he was paid to do this, but what's his price? So many other of America's players and those involved in U.S. soccer took issue at this, and the list is vast. And it's interesting because most of it is on Twitter. They show a picture of Landon Donovan holding up "My other team is Mexico" banners, and one emoji is the sick green throw up face. That's from Ethan Finlay. Sebastian Salazar, he says, "I thought it was pushing fans," meaning United States national team fans, "to root for El Trig," which is Mexico. "But please don't do it, American fans. This rivalry," meaning the Mexico-U.S. rivalry, "the rivalry with all of its rancor and spite, is the defining element of our region." It is interesting, though, because of the 26 U.S. I would say U.S. World Cup, but it's not the U.S. World Cup. It's the North American World Cup. We're kind of in partnership with Mexico and Canada in the upcoming World Cup in 8 years. But it doesn't mean you can root for Mexico. I just think it's outside of reason to pick another team to root for just because our team's not there. I relate this to something that I know. So, New York Giant. If I played for or and still playing for the New York Giants and my team is out, are you now all of a sudden going to go root for the, I don't know, it'd have to be like the Dallas Cowboys? Would you ever as a Giant fan root for the Dallas Cowboys to win the Super Bowl? Really, the example is perfect because it happened this year. Were Giants fans rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles to win the Super Bowl? I don't think so. It wasn't something that they were cheerleading for and grabbing Eagles jerseys and going fly, Eagle, fly. There's no chance you would do that. Landon Donovan, I get that there's everybody has a price, but this is taking it a step too far. Samter?
Your analogy is great, and I think a step farther from that is in the college scene where divisions and conferences mean even more. The SEC, the Pac-12.
Right. You're right.
So, like, if you're Auburn, as much as you hate Alabama, are you rooting for Alabama in the national championship game?
There's no chance.
Because now the SEC can win a title.
There's no chance.
Of course not. But here's the weird thing about this is, like, especially now in a political age, Mexico is our ally, right? Whatever you want to say about, you know, walls or all the different things that are going on politically.
Well, that's where he really crossed the line, I think, in some people's minds.
For sure. But, like, this is a political thing. They're an ally. Canada is an ally. Mexico is an ally. So what he's trying to say is, listen, they're allies of ours politically and nationally.
Yeah, but we're not
even
talking,
though they're a rival in soccer.
We're not talking about politics or...
But haven't they all kind of blended together now?
Or trade, even though in trade we're not partners with anyone of them anymore. the tariffs that are being imposed. That's a political discussion for a different show. But I mean, it's sports. Sports are supposed to have hate. You're supposed to have someone that you despise. Virginia doesn't like Virginia Tech. Now, I get caught a little bit in the middle of this one because I'm a product of Hokies, literally. Mom and Dad both went to Virginia Tech, and I grew up there. But I'm a Cavalier. So as much as I'm okay with Virginia Tech doing okay, I'm not rooting for them, right? I'm not saying go win a championship, Virginia Tech. Your example is perfect, Samter, with Auburn, Alabama. I mean, families get divided over this down in the South. They're not rooting for Alabama to win a national championship. They're rooting for Alabama to win a national championship, and then they can beat them the next year. That's the only route they would do for is they could take down the champion. This doesn't make sense. This was a miscalculation on Landon Donovan's part because he thought that people would be okay with it, that they could lump in some political commentary about building bridges as opposed to burning down them, and it would make it feel okay. This isn't okay because this is sports. We're not talking about politics. I agree. Bridges between countries, especially neighboring ones, should be strong and robust. But divisions with sport have nothing to do with it. Do not root for Mexico, unless you really like Mexico. The only thing I would say, Mexican-Americans, you can root for Mexico, definitely. But no, don't follow Landon Donovan's lead. Brian Strauss, we'll ask him. Sports Illustrated soccer writer coming up on the other side of our break. Should we be rooting for Mexico? You know the answer is no. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Welcome back. Tiki and Tina here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Tiki Barber. About to get you live from Russia. And an update live from Russia. What time is it over there? It's got to be like 1 o'clock, close to, no, 1230, 1220. Brian Strauss, Sports Illustrated soccer writer. Thanks for telling me incorrectly, Samter. You just told me incorrectly. Brian Strauss, Sports Illustrated soccer writer, joins us. Appreciate you staying up, because I don't think you went to bed yet, right, Brian?
No, we don't go to bed. They don't sleep in Russia. Dude, the sun comes up at two in the morning.
Let me ask you, because
2 hours a day.
I was going to say sleeps. because you're so far north. I mean, is it a crazy environment there with fans and celebrations and so many people come in from out of town or out of country? I should say it's got to be nuts.
I guess the last time we spoke was in Brazil, right?
It was
4 years.
Yes.
This is my third World Cup covering it, and I've never experienced anything like this. I mean, Moscow is a gateway to the rest of the country, you know, so in order to get anywhere else, any of the other venues, you've got to come through Moscow.
Yeah, no.
What people are doing is getting off the plane, coming into Moscow, you know, drinking their faces off for 3 or 4 days, and then moving on with their team to wherever they're playing. So, you know, I described it in one of my columns today. It's like every street is like a mile-long mosh pit. It's just incredible.
It's kind of awesome, though.
It takes forever to get everywhere. And, yeah, so nobody sleeps, and then it's nuts.
Yeah, but you still got to follow all the happenings and the things that are going on. Obviously, Russia started off the festivities on Thursday with a 5-0 bludgeoning of Saudi Arabia. I kind of felt like that was like a hand me, like a give me. Saudi Arabia's like, all right, we're not going to play that hard, but I'm not going to get into that conspiracy theory. Tell me about the importance, Brian, of the upset of Mexico over Germany. Obviously, they're the defending World Cup champions, but Mexico, I think, surprised them. They're fast. They get out in front. They were able to take advantage of Germany dumping too many people in their offensive zone, and they won. How damaging is this to Germany's chances?
It's a fascinating result. I mean, European teams have been dominating this tournament except for, as you said, the world champions. And the spotlight's really on Mexico. I mean, the spotlight's on Mexico for a lot of reasons. Obviously, for a lot of us, because the USA didn't qualify. Mexico is now sort of the team we're most familiar with, whether you love them or hate them. They are the team that you know, we see the most. We know the players, tens of millions of Mexico fans in the U.S. So they are relevant in a way that they haven't been before, at least to us, because the USA is not in the World Cup. That still feels weird to say. And then also because this is a very, very good Mexico team, because this is a real golden generation of talent for them. And so if they do have a chance to make a run, it's going to be with this group, some really good players in their prime. And it was a win of tactics and substance and intelligence. They had a wonderful game plan. They countered Germany to death. And by the time the Germans really kind of understood what hit them, it was a bit too late. And it was just a fun game to watch. And Mexico is now, they call it El Quinto Partido, the fifth game. You know, they've been knocked out in the second round for 6 straight World Cups. The only other countries on the planet that have made it that far for 6 straight World Cups are Germany and Brazil. And they've won the thing multiple times.
Yeah.
So Mexico's desperate to get to this quarterfinal, and now they're in a really good position to win the group and potentially get there. So it's a really, really big result. Germany will be fine. Germany will make it through, and Germany will do Germany things, but this is huge for Mexico.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Sweden and South Korea, I believe they have coming up, so there's an opportunity for Germany to still finish second there. Brian Strauss, Sports Illustrated soccer writer, joining me here on Tiki and Tierney. Brian, do you buy into Landon Donovan's argument that we should be rooting for Mexico? Because it's gotten a ton of backlash, especially from some of his United States team members, or former team members, I should say.
Yeah, it's like every World Cup, like something happens at home that just goes bonkers. Like the LeBron decision one time, you know, you're at a World Cup and you're in this bubble and you're a million miles away, and then something like this goes down and you're trying to wrap your head around it. Landon is just, I like Landon a lot as a person. He's a really interesting guy. I wrote a cover story for Sports Illustrated on Mexico, and it's about sort of the way, it was about the fact, the basic idea of the piece was that, look, you may not be a Mexico fan, but you have friends who are, you have coworkers who are, and we need to realize that there's this parallel America, tens of millions strong, who are just as American as you or me, but they have cultural or family or ancestral or linguistic ties to Mexico, and they identify with this team in order to connect with those things, and it's very important to them. Landon grew up in Southern California. Landon has, affection and sentimentality for this culture. And he just expressed that in a really, really interesting way. I was surprised by it. I think there's a difference between respecting the fact that you can root for Mexico and still be American,
yeah,
and expecting U.S. fans to root for Mexico. Those are two very, very different things. Our Sports Illustrated story is about the former. Landon then took it a step further and went with the latter. And obviously, yeah, there's been some backlash. I get it.
Yeah. Do you think it would have been
the greatest U.S. player of all time?
No, of course. I mean, he's the one you think about, right? He's the one you think about when you think about U.S. soccer. But do you think if it wasn't, I don't know, paid, if he wasn't paid to do this and it was more organic, it would have not gotten a backlash? You know what? It feels like he's sold out to support Mexico.
Yeah. I'm thinking now, like, I'm thinking of my, like, if John Riggins told me to root for the Cowboys, I have a total meltdown.
You know?
Like my childhood would be, like, retroactively killed if that happened.
I hear you.
No. That's a really good question. It's obvious, yes, it's part of a Wells Fargo deal that he has. He's done a couple commercials with them. I don't know the backstory of this. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be an expert on what it was. But look, I mean, Landon ultimately is going to decide what he wants to do and what he doesn't want to do. It's not like he didn't have approval, right?
Yeah,
it's not like him and his agent, Richard Moskin, didn't say, yeah, okay, this is good with us. So whether it was his idea, whether he wrote the script, whether he wrote the cut line or not, ultimately it's on him. So I'm not going to blame the company. This was a decision Landon made, and Landon's always marched to his own drummer. He's always zigged when you think he was going to zag. You know, it's what made him a good player. He's unpredictable. You know, he didn't worry about convention. He did his own thing, and he's doing that now. And it's just the way he's always been. And he's original. I appreciate him. I think he's been fun to cover. He's unique. You know, he doesn't talk in cliches. He's an interesting dude. And sometimes what you get with that is something unpredictable and strange, and maybe for some people uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Brian Strauss, Sports Illustrated. You got it in my head, Samter. Brian Strauss, Sports Illustrated soccer writer, joining us here.
Like Levi's, man. Like
I know.
Levi's.
I know that. And that's what I said. Samter screwed me up. Brian, Messi is one of the great players of all time. I'll keep playing the hits here because Ronaldo had a hat trick. So even if Portugal, who had, you know, I don't know if they have enough talent as a team to really go deep into the World Cup, but he was amazing. Right?
I don't know if either do, to be honest.
Yeah, I agreed. But my point is, Ronaldo had a hat trick, right? Messi misses a free kick. How damaging is that to him?
Man, I'm trying to think of an analogy for people who are sort of general sports fans who kind of tune in, you know, every 4 years to this. Look, I'm a Washingtonian, right? I mentioned Riggins.
Yep.
I'm a huge Washington Capitals fan. So it's like everyone saw what Alex Ovechkin's emotions were, you know, when he won the Stanley Cup. I'm you know, buzzing about it still. Hoping he comes to Russia while I'm still here. That was the look and the feel of a guy who took all of his team's success and failure on his shoulders personally, where it affected him to the core of his being. And that's Messi. Messi is just a sensitive, kind of strangely wired guy. If you remember when they lost the Copa America final to Chile 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
he just announced his international retirement after the game. Like, he was so emotional. So he's a guy who just simply isn't able to sort of shed the emotional and psychological burden of being the guy who's had to carry his entire country's fortunes. And Argentina is soccer mad. Argentina loves soccer as much as Americans love all of our major sports put together. I mean, there's just nothing like it there. And if you go to a game in one country on the planet, it should be Argentina.
Yeah.
And it's clearly wearing on him. It's clearly a burden. And, you know, maybe he shouldn't take the penalty kick. You know, maybe let someone, you know, for other guys on his team, it's just a 12-yard kick into the goal. For him, it's life or death. It's legacy. It's eternity. It's everything. It's just too much for him. I think Messi's the greatest soccer player I've ever been able to watch live in person. You know, I mean, at my age, I, you know, barely saw Diego Maradona.
Yeah.
You know, too young to see Pele or Cruyff or those guys. But Ronaldo's the greatest winner I've ever seen. He has intangibles, and he has an ability to master the moment and make his teammates better and grind out results in a way that's just magical. And I think those are the difference between the two guys. Messi technically is peerless, but Ronaldo's just got the intangibles. It's just pretty amazing to watch him do that.
Yeah, another one of the favorites, Brazil, tied Switzerland 1-1. But the question that comes out of this is, were they too, free with letting Neymar get penalties thrown against them? 10 penalties against Neymar in this game. Is this to be expected? It's the World Cup. You got to rise to the occasion, even if it's a little bit unfair.
This is why I'm not picking Brazil, because they, to me, and Neymar's a wonderful player. We did a, not to plug again, but we did a cover story on him last year, hung out with him in L.A. To me, he doesn't have the temperament. He lets that stuff get to him, in other words. And that happens in every sport, right?
Yeah.
You rough up the talented guy. You see what he's made of. You see how strong he is. And some guys crumble under that, and some guys can carry it. And to me, Neymar is just someone who you can kind of get off his game. And so when you see him complaining to the ref, when you see him bothering him and pouting and stomping around, like his head's just not in it. I don't know if he has the temperament. And again, here's a player who's counted on. Here's a player who's the centerpiece, his teammates, his coach, his country. Everybody looks to him to carry the load. And I don't see him having – maybe he'll prove me wrong, but I don't see him having sort of the constitution to do that. That's why at a World Cup – you see teams with depth. You see teams with balance. You see teams like Germany, France, Spain. Those are the teams, maybe even Belgium. Those are the teams that I think are threats to go all the way rather than a team that relies so much on one sort of talismanic player.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I lied to you, Brian. I got one more for you. Brian Strauss.
Bring it.
This is not has nothing to do with soccer, by the way.
I'm not going to bed. We do this all night.
I know. I'm not talking about soccer, but I'm talking about hockey. You're a Capitals fan. Are you shocked that Trotz – leaves, resigns. I know he doesn't have a contract, and I know there was some things going on.
This is the thing. So, I'm going to get personal a little bit. Let's get on the therapy couch. So, for people of a certain age, right? Like soccer is my sport, obviously, and I played it, and I coached it, and I cover it now. But I was born in between the NASL and MLS, so I didn't grow. I didn't have a team to support when I was a kid. So even though soccer is my sport, the Capitals are my favorite team, and everybody knows their history. They were the biggest chokers in sports for 35 years.
You're right.
Most home game seven losses, most two game series leads blown, all of the worst stats. And they did it. They did it this year. And it's all I've ever wanted as a sports fan. And it is remarkable and brilliant. And I am on cloud nine and my feet are not touching the ground. And I'm, this is sort of like the return to reality. This is really disappointing that they didn't, they didn't open up the checkbook and let Barry write down whatever he wanted. To earn. But that's sports, and I have told people, I've told friends that I don't care what happens for the rest of my life. The Capitals won the Stanley Cup.
You got
I'm
one.
Good.
You got one.
So now I got to back that up. Now I got to not get depressed about this.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And good luck with that. I think you will. You the Cup is a big thing. Brian Strauss, SI, thank you for staying awake. Go have some vodka, maybe on the rocks. It'll keep you feeling good for the next couple of hours. Appreciate you. Over in Russia, Brian Strauss joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. Man, that's commitment. It's commitment to the task. I appreciate him. CBS's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, and it is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way that you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Let's get an update. We're a little bit late. Richard Ackerman, please. Do not forget, today is the last day to vote for Jim Rome. RadioVote.com, vote for Jim Rome, or short dial 96000, 96000, with the text message 800 to vote for Jim Rome. He's obviously an icon of this business. He is an anchor for this station. Vote Jim Rome, RadioVote.com, or 96000, text message that, 800 to 96000. And get after Jim Rome. Get him into the Hall of Fame. He deserves it for sure. Are we ready for the blast? I think we're ready for the blast. Samter, tee us up.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
We know how this works. Collection of five or so stories. We'll get five stories that we haven't hit. We have some opinions about. Sam, so you're going to lead the way and read these for me, please.
I am. Number one, Tiki, something that kind of hits home for you since you were on Celebrity Family Feud before.
With the Kardashians.
With or against the Kardashians?
I played against, it was the Sanders, Deion Sanders family, Kardashian, and Egg McMahon's family. I played against Egg McMahon, and we lost.
That's a hell of a family right there.
Yes.
But the Turner people, including Shaq, Barkley, Ernie and Kenny were on Celebrity Family Feud going up against the MLB Network crew.
Nice.
And here's the question from Steve Harvey to Barkley.
If a man's zipper breaks at church, what might he use to cover it up?
A child.
Wow.
Whoa!
A what?
A child?
The man who was locked up.
I met a baby.
He tried to fix it.
He
our baby.
That's worse.
All right, so if you didn't catch that, the question was, what should a man use to cover up a broken zipper in church? And Barkley says, a child?
My question was,
and then a baby.
Was it on the board, though? Did it actually ring?
It was the number 7 answer on the board.
That is, why not, like, I don't know, what else? What do you use? What would you use? This is why they're so great, by the way, that TNT staff. But just they say the craziest things, and you get away with it, even if it's somewhat inappropriate. They're like borders on inappropriate, the stuff that they say, but it gets away with it. What was the number one answer, I wonder? Do you have the answer to that, Samter? I don't know. What would it be? Samter, what would you use? Diesel, what would you use?
The Bible? Is that worse?
I mean, yes.
You're at church. I mean, what else are you going to do?
I don't know. Your hands? It's got to be your hands. It's got to be number one.
Yeah, but yeah, your hands on your lap. That's I don't know what's worse, having like a kid sitting on your lap or having your hands there. That just kind of looks weird.
Yeah, go to the next one.
So there's reports now with all this free agency talk and Kyrie not signing his deal and an extension this year that the Knicks, BT's Knicks,
Ruh-roh,
are going to be a strong contender for Kyrie in 2019.
I love that, man. Why not? Kyrie, look, they're saying all the right things in Boston about Kyrie and the fact that he should be healthy. But the question is he actually going to be healthy? And we've had this conversation many times about all those young players, Rozier and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who were amazing last year. And they're only going to grow and they're only going to get better. And if you can find a way to clear some cap space or maybe get a different accented part to what they're already doing, Danny Ainge should absolutely do that. So if he's free, the Knicks should be all in for this. It's a different situation for Kyrie because he's kind of helping rebuild something from the bottom. But I think that would be awesome, and I would love to see it.
Mark Cuban and some other NBA luminaries are trying to fix the end-of-game issues of teams just fouling timeout,
Hate it.
That just slows down the pace of the play, including a youth league option that includes turning off the game at under 4 minutes, finding a set final score, and allowing the two teams just to play to that final score rather than to the end of a buzzer and to the end of a clock. What are your thoughts on that?
I saw this story, and what happened, say the score is 75-70, they would stop the game with 4 minutes, set the winning score, so you already know the winning score, at 82 or 84, and the first team to get to 84 wins the game. So if you are at 75, you got to score 9 points to get there. If you're at 70, you got to score 14 points. You have 4 minutes to do it. That's interesting, but it's asinine in today's basketball because a team that's closer is just going to start jacking up threes and actually might make basketball uglier than it already is because of the desperation just to hit a final score. I think the better way to do it would be to make the fouls after the bonus with say, under 4 minutes or 2 minutes left in the game. Make that foul a 2 shots and the ball, and that way the incentive to foul and get the guy on the free throw line and then you get the ball back is removed. And so you got to actually play defense. So that one's interesting, but it'll never work, especially not on the higher levels.
Washington State's Mike Leach, who we've had on the show before and is very interesting.
He
and
is
odd.
Interesting.
He tweeted a video of Barack Obama that was...
Ron Stone's son just committed to Washington.
Well, that's very
Washington State, I should say.
So he tweeted out a video of Barack Obama that was incorrectly spliced together to make Obama look really bad. And now the school says it's okay for their head coach to be posting political opinions. Should coaches be venturing into the political realm?
No, they shouldn't be venturing into the political realm. And maybe he was starting or trying to start a conversation or trying to have some dialogue around this current political environment, especially because it's crossed over so prominently into sports. But coach, stay away from politics, man, especially if you don't know what you're doing. Essentially, he retweeted a spliced video of Obama saying, Obama said, he didn't actually say it, but he said on this video, people shouldn't be governed, they shouldn't govern themselves, the government, they're incapable of governing themselves, which was actually a splice of him saying, crazy people have us believe that you shouldn't be governing yourselves, but he made it sound like he said it. And the interesting thing is, I don't know if he knew that was fake until people called him on it.
And then he finally came to the realization that, wait, I screwed up. This isn't fake. This isn't real. This is actually fake. And he started to backtrack. It's like, yeah, but should we have a conversation about government? No. No. Unless you know what you're talking about.
We all know about flopping in basketball and also in soccer. Mm. And France's Lucas Hernandez admitted to exaggerating an injury in extra time with the lead to help waste time.
That's what they do.
They did it against Australia.
That's what they do.
How can soccer fix this sort of tactic?
They can't. They can't fix it. It's part of the game. These guys get their pinky toes stepped on, and they fall like they just got snipered. It's so frustrating to watch these guys. And as soon as they get the foul or not get the foul, they hop right back up, and they're running full speed. I mean, the one thing we saw today, earlier today, when I think it was – was it Belgium or was it that the England game? England-Tunisia or was it Belgium-Portugal? I can't remember what it was. The goaltender dove out and tried to block a shot, and he dislocated his elbow. No, that was the England-Tunisia. He dislocated his shoulder. They had to pop it back in. Like, that was a real injury. I actually feel sympathy for guys when they have real injuries. But soccer, especially international soccer, they fake injuries so much. I mean, how can you tell which real and which can't? The boys.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Those boys cry wolf all the time. They have no idea.
Like Draymond Green and LeBron James.
What do you mean?
The soccer flopping has come to America and in the NBA.
No, the greatest one ever was Marcus Smart in the postseason. Celtics and Cavaliers. I forget what game it was. Maybe it was game six. Marcus Smart's flop was epic. I mean, unbelievably epic. He didn't get touched. And he went down like he took an uppercut from a Rocky movie or something. I mean, it was actually really good acting. But you can't call those things. Do they still find players for flopping in the NBA? I think they do. I remember they did it for a while. There was a couple years where they were actually finding guys for flopping in the NBA.
They try to do it in soccer, but it's hard.
I mean, these guys make millions and millions of dollars in international soccer, not in the World Cup. I know they get a stipend for playing in the World Cup, or they get a salary, I should say, for playing in the World Cup. But the international guys, you'd have to find them like $1 million for flopping because they make so much money. It's not going to happen, though. BT is out tomorrow. He will be back on Wednesday. However, tomorrow we have a pretty stacked show. We have Ice Cube joining us with Gary Payton. He'll be on the show. And also Colin Montgomery, who is a – how many times did he win the Open Championship? He only won it once, I believe. See, three times second place. So he was like Phil for a while. But he'll join us in studio, Colin Montgomery, who's now on the senior tour, maybe not playing a lot of golf. And Kevin Cash, who is the manager of the Tampa Rays, will join us. And the game that Samter caught his baseball at was Yankees versus Tampa Rays. You know what was interesting about that game? Kevin Cash started a reliever again. Except this reliever actually pitched like a starter. Went six innings, and got the win. Tiki and Tierney will be back tomorrow. Hope you guys have a fantastic day. See you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.